So this morning's reading is taken from John chapter 11, verses 14 to 44. That's John 11, 14 to 44. And it can be found on page 1078 in your Bibles. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus! Come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, Take off the grave clothes and let him go. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Mim. A great reading. For anybody who doesn't know me, my name's Alex. I'm the vicar here. It's very good to see everybody this morning. And if I haven't met you yet, please do say hello in the coffee break or after the service, because it would be great to get to know everybody. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," Martha replied. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word and your promises to us within it. We pray that you will help us to understand what you want us to learn today, and that we will take this to our hearts. Amen. We all wonder about death, don't we? It's something in society that we don't like to talk about very much, but I think we all think about it. It's natural to think about it because sooner or later, all of us will die. That much is certain. Death is truly the last enemy of the people of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that we can beat many other enemies, but death always wins in the end. We can put it off, we can dress it up, we can put it out of our heads and deny it, but to no avail. Hebrews chapter 9 reminds us that since the fall, since everything went wrong in the world, it has been appointed unto man once to die. And not any one of us escapes that particular appointment. And all of us know how devastating death can be. We all have our own deaths to face, and none of us escape experiencing the losses of those we love either. It's the single most painful part of the human existence. And whether we're on the earth for a shorter time or a longer time, it comes to us all. In our Bible reading from today, death had visited the little home in Bethany, 2 miles from Jerusalem. Lazarus was dead, and a dark cloud of grief had descended upon his sisters, Mary and Martha. Their hearts were broken. The future seemed bleak. And when he arrived with them, Jesus shows us the heart of God for all our suffering. In amongst the people who were wailing and weeping, Jesus weeps too. Even though he knows that Lazarus will not be long in the grave, even though he knows that minutes from now he will be calling Lazarus forth and he will be raised from the dead, Jesus stands before his tomb and weeps openly. He weeps because he loved Lazarus, and he weeps because he feels the pain of death. He weeps because he sees the suffering of Mary and Martha, and for all the suffering that death causes in the world. He weeps because he feels and understands our grief. Death is the last enemy, and until it is destroyed, we, like Jesus, weep at it too. Now, I don't know about you, but as I read in John chapter 11, I'm struck by the fact that when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he deliberately delayed coming until he knew that Lazarus was dead. In fact, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. He didn't mention the message to his disciples, as far as we can read. He didn't make preparations to go to his friends. He didn't send messages saying, "We're coming, we're on our way." He stayed where he was and Martha and Mary watched their beloved brother die. When Jesus eventually reaches Bethany, Lazarus has already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. This must have been so hard for them to understand. And there are occasions in life for all of us, however much we love the Lord, where he allows things to happen that are hard for us to understand. Martha rushes out to meet him, and on meeting Jesus, she blurts out, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." It is a combination of such sorrow and disappointment, and yet also enormous faith. And it's a position we find ourselves, all of us, in from time to time. If Jesus had been there, my marriage would have been saved. He might have helped us. If Jesus had been there, maybe he would have saved me from losing my temper and things would have turned out differently. If Jesus had been there, he might have stepped in and helped us with, and we can all fill in something in that space. When Jesus arrived with them, Mary and Martha's hearts and minds are stinging with hurt that Jesus has taken so long to reach them, as well as being filled with grief at the death of their brother. And Martha's openness with him about how she feels, and Mary's later identical words, Mary says exactly the same thing to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died," shows us that we can be honest with him when we face these situations that we face in our own lives. We can tell him what is on our hearts, because Jesus' reaction is that of compassion and of love. He understands. But now that Jesus is here, what will he do? Lazarus has been dead for so long that any thought of an immediate resurrection is out of the question. But in any case, it doesn't appear to be in Martha's mind. She had thought that Jesus would heal Lazarus, and she also believes in the Jewish sayings of the time that he would be raised on the last day. But it's not occurred to her that Jesus might rise Lazarus from the grave right here and now. And it's against this background that Jesus said to Martha some of the most famous words that were ever quoted from him. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Now, these words have been the light and hope to the people of God for 2,000 plus years. We quote them because they express our deepest faith in Jesus Christ. And the words show us several vital things. Firstly, Jesus is the master of death in all its forms. He's the master of death in all its forms. "I am the resurrection and the life." Notice how personal this is. He doesn't say, "I bring resurrection and life," but he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." In the presence of Jesus, death is no longer death. It's something else entirely. Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "The grave has lost the victory. Death has lost its sting." How can this be? Well, death has been transformed by Jesus himself. Death for a believer is like lying down to take a good nap. The body might sleep for a very long time, for many years in fact, but in the end, it will wake up. And when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it was just a sample of what he will do for all his people when he returns to the earth. But it's very personal with Jesus. He is himself the resurrection and the life. And the key to escaping death and having eternal life is having a personal faith in him. So Jesus is the master of death in all its forms. He's also the answer to death for all of us. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. It is perhaps the fondest and deepest wish in the human heart to know that death is not the end. Well, if we believe in Jesus, we can live even though we die. Jesus is the answer to death for all of us. And finally, he is the victor over death for all time. The victor over death for all time. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Death for the believer, for the one who believes and trusts in Jesus, will cease to be death at all. It's merely the continuation of life in the presence of God. And that's what Paul meant when he said in Philippians chapter 1, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." It's also what David meant when he said that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it's also what Jesus had in mind when he promised the dying thief next to him on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus is the victor over death for all time. He is the master of death in all its forms. He is the answer to death for all of us. I wonder if you can imagine what it was like for Jesus to raise a Lazarus from the dead. First, he told them to roll away the stone. Martha objected, pointing out that the body would stink because it had been in there for 4 days. Then Jesus prayed to the Father, and that bit's really important because he shows that the miracle which occurs next is in the Father's power and not in his own. And he cried out, "Lazarus, come out." And the Bible tells us that Lazarus came out from the grave still bound in his grave clothes. Jesus ordered that the wrappings be removed and he be set free. So why did Jesus choose this course of action? Why did he make Mary and Martha wait even though it hurt them? Why did he choose to do this? Well, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead so we would all know that he can do it. Anyone could come to the earth and say, "I am the resurrection and the life," but only the Son of God could do what Jesus did. Only the Son of God could bring dead human beings back to life. And what's really important for us to realise is that this wonderful story about Lazarus, one of the most moving and powerful stories in the whole Bible, it isn't just about Lazarus. We know this really. It's primarily about Jesus. The whole chapter, and we didn't read from the very beginning to the very end because it would have been too long, but it begins with the disciples warning Jesus not to go back to Judea. They all know his life is at risk. And it ends, after the bit we read today, with the high priest declaring that one man must die for all the people. And we know that that will be Jesus. When Jesus delayed in going to Mary and Martha's on first hearing that Lazarus was ill, it's likely that he was praying to the Father. He knew that people were going to kill him. Bethany was a small town 2 miles away from Jerusalem. Once there, a set of a course of actions would come into play that he could not undo. It was right by the city. He knew what was going to happen. He had to pray to the Father. He had to check the timings. He had to be sure he was in the Father's will. When Jesus thanks his Father for hearing his prayers in verses 42 onwards, yes, he is referring to the miracle that God is about to perform through him. But he's also likely referring to the prayers he has prayed for wisdom and guidance as to his own actions and movements through the course of time. The two were bound up together. What Jesus would do for Lazarus would be, on the one hand, a principal reason why the authorities would want to get him out of the way. But on the other hand, it would be the most powerful sign yet of God's glory in the world and declaration of who Jesus was. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And there's a question which goes with that that he asks Martha, and it's a question that we all must answer. Do I believe this? Do we believe with all our hearts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came from heaven to live on the earth 2,000 years ago? Do we believe that when he died on the cross, he died in our place, bearing our punishment and paying for our sins? Do we believe that on that Easter Sunday morning, he literally, physically, bodily rose from the dead, never to die again? Do we believe that Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us in heaven, even as we are gathered here today? Do we believe that Jesus truly is the resurrection and the life, and that he's able to remove the terror of death for those who trust him? And when we've answered those questions, are we willing to stake our lives upon him, to trust him in all circumstances, even when, as with Mary and Martha, and as with all of us, we sometimes feel hurt or disappointed in him? We sometimes don't understand how he chooses to work. But we know that all that he does is for the love of us and for our good. Amen.